Jack Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Good morning. Coming up in a moment, Red Elk. He is a self-described half-breed Native American from both the Blackfeet and Shoshone Nations, as well as part Irish and French. Member of the Hioka, a contrarian group of Native American lost boys, of which he is one of 12 inner Hioka. One of the last nine members of the Red Web Society who are working to bring understanding to Earth. Official keeper of the tunnels. Official keeper of the pyramids. The temporary caretaker of the flying red dragon drum, a very sacred drum on the Hopi Nation. The altar carrier of the nations. Red Elk is called by both whites and full breeds as the bridge between the native people and all other religions, including the atheists. I'm very appreciative of his including that line. I'm Art Bell, and Red Elk is coming up. Here comes, as promised, Red Elk. Good morning, Red Elk. How are you?
Well, good evening, my friend.
Yes, good evening.
My friend, all right.
That's right. You're on the West Coast, I guess, up in the state of Washington, if the area code I see is correct.
Yes, I'm in Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington?
Yes.
Okay. I hardly know where to start. I understand that you know about a lot of things that are below ground, that are beneath our feet in the earth or as part of the earth. Is that correct?
This is correct, my friend. There are 12 of us all told of the inner Hiokas, and we each have certain areas of the earth that we are in charge of knowing it by being called keeper. It means knower, or the one of knowledge.
That kind of makes you like one of the 12, the majestic 12 of the underground.
at times, I get followed, and I have some problems up here for what I know down there.
All right, let's begin. So we got to begin somewhere. So, Red Elk, let us begin with tunnels. You know a lot about tunnels. What do you know about tunnels? How did you find these tunnels? Where are these tunnels? You probably won't tell us where they are, I imagine, huh?
Some, perhaps. I've had some problems from what I know, and for safety's sake, maybe I would be very wise to not speak of some, and certainly not to give away certain secrets that the military knows, and
the military. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, the tunnels, my friend. That, gee, Mr. Bill, it's hard to say not to say what you asked, but
how did you find these tunnels?
Well, it just it's just knowledge passed down.
All right,
and then you're taught how to go to them in spirit.
All right. How long has the knowledge of these tunnels been passed down?
Oh, gee, well over 1,200 years.
1,200 years?
Yes, sir.
All right. And it is passed down, I suppose, generationally, correct?
Yes, it is. I have to revamp what I just said. Over 2,000 years.
Over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years.
Yes. Uh-huh. In my training as an inner Hioka, this is my main society, it takes many, many more years to be an Inner Hioka than to be a standard, if you want to call it that, medicine person. And most medicine people will train 07, sometimes even 14 years, and the Cherokee, 17 years.
Wow.
And that's a long time to be trained before you go out to do your work.
It certainly is.
But the Inner Hiokas are called to kind of a higher thing. And I was in training for 41 years before I was called to do the work, before I was allowed in.
41 years.
Yes.
Of what kind of training?
Well, how to do just about, how do I say it, that there's no, let me break this down a little bit quick. The one that is called the Pale One or the Pale Teacher, the whites know as the Christ. And the training is to do the things of Christ.
All right. The tunnels again. So the information about where they were was passed down to you in this manner. Can you actually go into these tunnels?
Physically, yes. Spiritually, it's much, much more easier. They're so vast that...
But you can go either way, spiritually or physically.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, there are certain openings all over our planet. And the tunnels, the ones that concern we on the surface, are roughly 3 deep. And then between the...
What do you mean 3 deep?
Well, we are on the surface of the sixth planet. There are 5 below us. And
5 planets below us?
Well, if you want to call it that.
Worlds or
balls, we're there in between.
Would you call them worlds?
In their own right, yes.
Uh-huh.
Major Dames, is it?
Yes.
He's made mention of being concerned about the people below. And this gentleman is quite aware that we are not alone just because we walk here and got miners occasionally that, you know, work every day in the mines.
Well, how could we, Red Elk, how could we be on the surface and not be aware in some manner or another of these worlds, or at least the immediate world that would be closest to us, you know, an entire underground world? I know that's where you're going. How could we not be aware of it with all the drilling we do and the sounding and the sonar and the blah, 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 whatever?
Number one, the military is aware of some of these tunnels, number one.
Oh.
Number two, we are all aware of it in our fables and...
Well, that's true.
Hotels like fairies and
that's
homes.
Right. Oh, no, that's right. There are many, many fables that support what you're saying. That's true. And there have been many stories, science fiction and otherwise, about worlds below our world. And frankly, I guess we have only gone so deep. But you're telling me, I guess, that there are tunnels that go where? Virtually to the middle of the Earth? To the center of the Earth? Where?
Well, the center of the Earth, my friend, is a ball of fire. There's no one that dwells within or on as us.
Okay.
The planet that could live in this, they couldn't exist. There are other planets that are like the ball of, in our Earth, that people do live. They don't look like us. But they can live in that environment, but they're not here.
They're not here.
So
right.
It's we'll call the ball number one, all right? And then there's number two. This is something that some Indians will shy away from, but I know better. And number two is Lucifer's headquarters. This is his place of encampment. And then...
I really want to get this straight. The very center is fire, molten, everything, just hot beyond any
normal
biological organism's ability to live in.
that you are aware of. Yes.
Yes, that I'm aware of. You're not saying that there is not some kind of life there, just not as we know it?
I'm saying there is no life there, but there are other planets like that, whole planets.
No life there at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But the other planets are in other places, nothing to do with it.
All right, and then surrounding that, number two, the next level, you're saying is Lucifer's headquarters.
This is correct. And he is the originator of a few of these tunnels.
Well, I guess the Christians might not have such a hard time believing it. You know, he was cast down, way down, and we've always traditionally the Christian world thinks of a hell within a burning hell within the center of the world, and it's kind of what you're talking about.
Kind of, yeah. Hell is also a little bit different, but this is another story. Then the ceiling of Lucifer's area,
yes,
is not like anything that you and I are aware of. Our ceiling is the sky.
Right.
His realm is all caverns and tunnels. It's just, you know, it's very sulfurous. It's extremely hot, but he and his people, they were, this is the land that they are comfortable with. And to throw out the creator, they blew up a planet on the way because it was just the right temperature. Our asteroid belt is that planet. And then he came here, and to get to that right temperature, they did dig down there.
So the first world outside of that that's unlivable belongs to Lucifer and his minions.
Correct.
There are many who think that Lucifer and his minions affect us on the surface from time to time.
Every day.
Every day? Yeah, I suppose they're hard at work, huh?
Always.
And what about beyond Lucifer's underground world?
The number three from center, one.
Two, Lucifer, three. Two.
Number three is also much of Lucifer's domain, and mostly where he keeps his armies of demonic beings, his own creation, the best he could do to make a human being. It too is tunnels and caverns. It's no sky, no air as we know it. There's air.
Red Elk, question for you, please. I have been interviewing of late a lot of people who claim to have actually been physically attacked by entities, dark things called shadow people or some sort of entities, and some of them, Red Elk, have handprints, you know, black and blue handprints where something has grabbed them on their arms, their legs, and beaten them up and thrown them across rooms during sleep, that kind of thing. Would these entities be from that level, that storage area for Lucifer's army?
Some come from a little higher levels. Some come from other areas that are outside of our countries, are outside of our worlds, or world, as most people understand it. I do see these shadow people, and I'm not concerned about them too much. They're easy to overcome. I'm quite a follower of your program, my friend.
Oh, you are? Maybe you would like to explain to everybody plagued by these things how to overcome them.
First off, and the greatest, or next to the greatest, is no fear. Have no fear. That's easy to say.
Yeah, it sure
but
is.
When they're gripping you, it's not an easy thing to do, but I've been gripped, in a sense, by one far greater than they, and it overcame. Fear can kill you. Fear can keep these attacks coming at you.
Well, a lot of people say these, whatever they are, feed on the fear that they generate in you.
I'm not sure if they feed on it, but they certainly do get a kick out of it.
Well, some motive like that. Either they're humored by our fear, or they actually feed on it and become stronger.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm getting stronger from these. There are other beings that do, in a sense, suck your energy and suck your fears. And literally, it's like steak sauce on a steak to them.
Red Elk, I interviewed a long time ago on this program some Hopi elders. And
I heard that myself.
You did hear that?
Oh, sure. Like I say, my...
Okay, then good. You remember, I'm sure then, how stern, severe, and immediate their warnings were to everybody.
Yes.
Do you also believe, as they do, that time is indeed very, very short?
Sir, your word believe has a connotation of doubt. I believe this isn't going to happen. Means also, maybe it won't. No, I don't believe it. I know it.
You know it?
Yes.
The warnings they gave were so severe, Red Elk. And is this a general belief pretty much across Native American nations of all sorts, or specific to the Hopi, or what?
In that, first off, I have very little to do with the Hopi.
Right.
But this is not held by the American, North American Indians alone. This is also held by the Laplanders, those in the steppes of Russia. This is held by all people of medicine and knowledge, of people beyond doing evil, you know, sorcery. This is the knowledge of the people that try to do good and try to help the people here. Yes, it's worldwide. It has nothing to do with us alone. On this continent.
Might I ask you? You say you trained for 40 years.
41.
40. Excuse me, 41. How old are you now, might I ask?
In June, I will be 60.
60. So would you be considered an elder at 60?
I am told, my friend, that I am an elder to the elder, a grandfather to the grandfathers. I don't know. Do I consider myself an elder? I consider myself, in truth, a dingbat.
A dingbat, huh?
Yes.
Why have you chosen to come on the air, and of course we haven't covered it all yet, but describe what the real inside earth is. Why have you decided to come on the air and do this?
Well, I was listening to this gentleman that has the cave find in Illinois.
Yes.
And it was through the Art Bell Cat Club of Seattle. I made a couple of friends there, and I told him a few things, and somehow it bled over to him.
I see.
And
and obviously then got to me. I see the providence here. All right, Red Elk, hold on. You want to know what's underneath your feet and inside the earth? This is the man that's going to tell you tonight.
in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate and maybe tell you about Phaedra and how she gave me life.
Good morning, Red Elk is here. He'll be right back. From a little town near the Valley of Death called Pahrump, this is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, Red Elk is here. Red Elk, we covered level three, which is basically Lucifer's army and other undesirables. What from there?
Well, at level three itself, it also includes others that are not of his army. At the lower you go I understand what you mean, but
there is
number one is a center.
Is this hell?
In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. People go where they think they belong when they pass over.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And hell is a state of mind that is so true, it is hell.
So,
Lucifer takes great pleasure in that.
We Red Elk, we have souls, no question about it. We are a consciousness, whatever it is that our soul is, it survives physical death, right?
Oh, certainly. Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh. There is no death, not yet.
Uh-huh, but there is a hell. There is a place where a soul where a soul of this sort, if it virtually sentenced itself to this place, would go.
This is correct. There's some that don't belong there, and there's some in the seven heavens above us that don't belong there. And on the great day, that judgment day, that there's going to be a big surprise, and the people that don't belong in this torment, they're going to kick themselves in the rear. And some of those that are lying along up there in number one, two, and place up there are going to get kicked and kicking themselves too, because they're gone.
Well, now, I don't understand that, because that would mean to me that the Great Spirit or a God has goofed. In other words, he's put them in a place, or his will of their causing them to have judgment about themselves is putting them in the wrong place. I mean, it just doesn't seem. It seems like a bureaucratic error.
Yeah, on the contrary, you've got to remember what time is to the Creator. Time is but a blink in the eye. You know, 1,000 years is but a blink. 1,000 of our years, and he doesn't put them there. They put them there.
Well, why will things change on judgment?
Because the truth will be known. They will all know, every single one.
Oh, I see.
And they will know that the Creator loves them, but the ones that have truly, truly, totally turned their back on the Creator and love, they are the ones that will go into a true hell. Our Creator loves us so much that he's not going to let you sit there and fry and sizzle, you know, for eternity. He literally quits thinking about you, and you're gone forever. You become nothing like you never have been, ever, and no one remembers you.
All right.
Very kind Creator.
The worlds that are above, how many more are above this third world?
There are actually seven, and if you wouldn't mind, I can explain this where people can understand it.
Please give that a try. I'd like to understand it myself.
All right, try to visualize a see-through tube, a plastic tube. All right, and the bottom of the tube is resting on our planet's surface, yours and mine, number six here.
All right.
All right, and when you pass over, you in this tube make floors, see-through floors, drill holes in it so the air goes all through the tube,
right,
top to bottom.
Gotcha.
And make the last floor on top, number seven, lower than the tube. There, put three walls in it, like the peace symbol. Place three walls in it. So, but it's all see-through and it's all drilled, all right? So the air is there. This air is a creator, and love is what the creator is pure love. And when you pass over, you go into this other old frequency, dimension, whatever.
Whatever.
And it is how you've grown on this planet, on our surface. How you've grown, where you go immediately, like the Christ, he went up to the Father. He went up to the seventh heaven. But people, the normal people who don't call themselves, many of them don't even call themselves a God believer, but they do good. They do nice things. They're not a pain in the neck, and they don't live for self. And, you know, they're not ego on two feet. They get to go into number one heaven.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going a little bit, you go into two. If you're going more, three. If even more, four. And it really depends on what you do now in this given life, this given dream.
A lot of people call it a school.
This is a school.
Yes,
And I will guarantee you that in time, all that remain in the seven heavens, all of them, in time, a long way away, they too go to school, even as they pass over.
Now, let's take, if you don't mind, this first world below us. That would be number six, I guess. Is that right?
No, we're six.
We're six, so there are five. Okay, then let's talk five first.
Yeah, five is a very interesting world, and there's a very, very interesting reason that it exists.
How far actually below us is five?
Sometimes it rises up to just 3 miles below us in places.
3 miles?
Yes. But, you know, in places, it goes up and down the tunnels I'm speaking of.
Right.
That lead into this world. Roughly 26, 27 miles.
That's an average 26, 27 miles, and as close as 3 miles. Oh, that's really interesting. And what is this world like?
The world looks, it has caps, ice caps, as we do.
It has ice caps?
Yes, it has deserts. It's everything here, there. But the sun is a false, I hate to use this word because people grab it and think, put a big G on it. Don't do it. It's a little G. A false God made, not false gods, but a false made by these gods, little G.
Are you able to tell me if we were able to, with our eyes, look at this world you're describing, with this sky you're describing, how would we see it?
Almost identical to ours, except, and there's a reason for it, except that the day is not as bright, the night is not as
dark,
as light.
As light?
Yeah, as our night.
We've got the moon, we've got the sun in the daytime, moon.
Who do they?
But it has to be something.
It was God made, but the little God made. You know, it was from the beings. There was a reason to do this. A long time ago, first off, Lucifer came, all right, and he drilled a few holes and he went down to where he wanted to go. And then, right behind him, you know, in time, Lucifer, he spread out with his commanders, his angels and stuff, right, over all the galaxies, over all the universes, even the dimensions with other galaxies and universes. In time, again, understand, we're speaking time that we're not familiar with. 1,000 years is but a blink of the eye.
Right.
All right? And in time, he spread out with his whole contamination. At one time, there were everyone was familiar that there was but one creator, and most worshipped him in a great way. But in time, Lucifer and his soldiers and his angels became his, the ones that fled with him, became his generals and stuff.
Well, let's call it level 5, Red Elk. With regard to level 5, what sort of inhabitants are there?
Hardly any.
Hardly any?
Yes. If you allow me, I'll explain what happened and why it's there.
Well, I will, but, I mean, wouldn't that be virtually the largest of the worlds outside of being on the surface?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, it seems to me, from our point of view, be the most habitable of the levels below the surface. Why would it be barely inhabited?
That's what I've been trying to explain.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, one of the very first of Lucifer's conquering of contamination were Draculians, lizards. They, as well as another smaller group, came down to this earth to rip it of its golds and minerals. And another group that came down at the same time, who were far better. They too came down to get our gold and metals and minerals and so forth.
The Anunnaki.
And they made an alliance between these groups.
Would this be the Anunnaki?
No.
Okay.
But they made an alliance, and the lizards and the smaller group that came with them went in, you know, dug into the ground, and they said, "We'll take this down here. You guys, you keep that up there."
You said lizards.
Yeah, the Draculian race, yes.
Alien race?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, and the Creator had already created humans here. And you were talking about those humans last night. The original ones, the ones that we call Yeti and Bigfoot and stuff. And
you agree with that? They were the original humans?
They are the original humans. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of where. They're still here.
So I believe, yes.
Well, belief and knowing are two different things. But anyway, what happened is these miners, these lizard miners, for some odd reason, I know some of them personally. I'm speaking of. And I've never seen a female. Not on this planet. Or rather, not down there.
Mm-hmm.
Here, yes, but not down there. But originally, it seemed to be kind of like Columbus coming over to North America with a whole bunch of sailors. You know, they went down, and they had no females. And in the alliance, the agreement between the number 6 gods and the number 5 gods, the lizards, they agreed that each would take a certain amount of the population upon this planet, number 6, and divide it, and not equally, you know, they left a little remnant to still stay original, and they were going to use them as their miners. Well, the lizards, they took their group down, and the lizards, a horny bunch, about the best way to put it.
And they've been taking Earth women, I suppose.
Oh, they took everything that they could grab, but they worked them to death, and
you know, I this isn't really off track. I interviewed a lady who claimed she was having, I swear to you, this is true, an affair with a lizard alien.
I heard that from the one with the painted hair.
Yeah, it's the one.
Oh, yes.
So, that sounds an awful lot like what you're describing.
Well, it is, yes. But anyway, for 10 generations, our generations, and at that time I don't know how long the people or the humans of this planet, the original ones, were living. A long time, though. But for 10 of us, their normal lifespan. They were below ground, being slaves, being food, and being sex toys for these dang lizards. And the lizards, you know, they had no respect for this life. But in so doing, through the sex, DNA was being crossed over.
Hit that again. To the lizards, we are, or our women are, sex toys or slaves.
Not just the women.
Well, I mean, they had great need, you're suggesting.
Oh, yes, yes. That would be a good way of putting it. And they still do.
Great need. All right, so either slaves,
food,
or sex slaves.
Yes. But they were great needs, far greater needs than our so-called gods here, who were very good.
Now you claim, don't you, that our military understands the nature, at least some of the nature of these lower worlds and of the lizards.
Sir, our military, some units of it, work side by side with these people. Not only below,
really?
But here.
My.
Up here. Not just 2-3 miles or a quarter mile.
So that must mean that the military, I wonder how that happened. Did the military manage to tunnel down, or was there a meeting initiated from below?
Above us as well as below us initiated meeting. As witches, true witches, the bad ones, will, even knowing that there is but one creator, and that creator is love, they choose to do their own thing and go with evil. So too, some of our people, men and women, but mostly men, being military, choose to the power of the evil and made an alliance with that. We've got these dang lizards are all over the place, and it really sounds strange to say it, but they're all over the place.
Are there portals, openings through which these things come, and we meaning our military, traverses tunnels back and forth?
Portals, I assume, my friend, that you're speaking of some kind of a big twirling light or something, or are you speaking...
I don't know what I'm speaking about. Maybe tunnels that connect the... I'm asking...
Okay, there are tunnels that our military are in, that are in cahoots, if you want the best way to put it, with these dang lizard people. But, understand, that does not make all our military in that way. This is what we call the black military. I tell you, we had trouble all over the surface.
I mean, if what you were saying, if everything you're saying was true, they'd have you killed.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean, oh, yes?
Well, my friend, I woke up, I was literally dressed and up at 1:50 this morning. I haven't been to sleep since. I've been ordered to tell many, many things. And
but do you realize what you're risking? I mean, if what you're saying is real.
Yes, I know that, but what is death, my friend? It's just a continuation of life. It's time someone starts talking. I just recently got back from Hopi Land, and these poor full-bloods down there, the few that I had a chance to really talk with, they were absolutely amazed. I mean, it was just a total amazement that someone other than that little group of Hopi and the bigger group of Navajo, Arapaho, Apache, knew anything about this, knew anything, let alone was doing it, doing something about it, being aware of it. And I pass for white far more than I pass for Indian.
Do you?
Oh, yes, I look like a short, squat, fat, beady-eyed, bald Irishman. My brother, on the other hand, he's the one that looks red.
Well, how long has this been going on, this contact between our world and number five?
Who are you talking about, our world, or are you talking about our modern time world?
I guess modern time world.
Oh, okay. That I cannot honestly say, but it appears to be somewhere about, you know, again, I cannot have accuracy, but about 45, 47.
45, and boy, so much happened around 45 and 47, didn't it? All right, everybody, hold tight. There's more Red Elk ahead. So, level 5 is the lizard world. I don't know why, but that doesn't surprise me. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories stored and to use them to help us.
Take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
My guest is Red Elk. We're talking about what's below our feet, under the ground. My only experience as a talk show host with any previous under-the-ground thing, well, there have been a couple, actually, but the main one, of course, was Mel Waters, who told us about Mel's hole. And in a moment, it's irresistible. I've got to ask.
There's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh, yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, I'll never see you when deliberately pushing me in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because of a while.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
My guest is a Native American named Red Elk. And he's telling us about what's below, way below. I've got another little hole question. I told you there were a couple. Indeed, there are. And I've got another coming up in just a moment. All right, back now to Red Elk, and You know, Red Elk, you understand, there are a lot of people out there who say this is just crazy as hell. I mean, this is crazy. There can't be all this down below us.
Yes, I know. I know. But don't worry, my brother. There will be a time in the not-too-distant future where they're going to say, I wish I'd listened.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, these it is true, you know, that these... The rumors of all of this, the rumors of things like you're talking about down there, they've been along and around as long as man has.
Indeed they have.
As long as we've been talking. We've somehow told each other about this.
Excuse me, but the white ancestors on my white side, you know, your own ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And by white, I'm encompassing all colors other than Indian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've all had our fables, our myths, our tales, our fairies, and little people. And over the ages, it became that, but that did not stop that. And these things do exist. These beings do exist. And you know, in my training, I've learned how to. Have them come to me, or me go to them, or whatnot, and even sit down and I don't drink beer, but to the elves, you know, if I know they're coming, I'll go out and buy a couple of beers or three or four beers, depending on how many. And we'll sit down and chat, and good little people. Then there's the other kind, you know, the bad side, but a lot of those bad side little people. Are much more recent. They're from the last two Earth flips.
Earth flips?
Yes, the one coming up is going to be number five. But nevertheless, it was the military at that time who stayed underground and inbred and became little people. Bad little people.
So the military knew what was coming of that time and got underground to save themselves.
Yes. And they're doing it now, too.
All right. There is a story, Red Elk, that years ago now I first heard about a group of scientists in Siberia who had drilled the very deepest hole into ground ever drilled. And this was confirmed. This story was confirmed. We have the printed version of it on my website. Lowered, actually heard as they were drilling this hole, some pretty horrible sounds. We should get the printed version of this, I suppose, up on my website because a lot of people doubt that it's true. But it actually ran, I think it was Reuters, I can't recall. At any rate, they lowered microphones into the ground. Hearing faintly what they were hearing, they were very concerned when they reached this level, and I don't know how many thousand feet down they were. But they lowered microphones into the ground and recorded a sound, and I have a recording which is allegedly that recording. And I'm going to play it for you, and I'm going to play it for Red Elk, and see what his reaction is. Here that recording is. Listen carefully. That's it.
Yes, I've heard it many times. I heard it the original night you played it. I understand that Lucifer and those of him have great power, a tremendous power. And even though Hades exists in a sense in your own mind when you pass over, I've talked to ghosts, they won't go because they're afraid you're going to go down there, but They had the ability to pull out the out of this mind hell, if you want, which is a real place. These people, and put them into torture chambers, torture caves, torture hell, and play with them. Go around, stab them, bite them, eat them.
Well, it
sure is. They don't die.
It sounded like that's what we were hearing.
That is what you were hearing, my friend.
All right. We've talked about the fifth level, most adjacent to ours, the lizard world, and I understand that would probably be of the most concern to us for sure. And we've talked about three other levels, but we haven't yet talked about the fourth level, below the lizards.
Well, the fourth level actually is the lizard's realm, and they pass through five to get to number six, us. There are very few that actually stay in number five. Their realm is in number five or number four because this is where the greatest amount of minerals and gold is at. And again, I'll have to go back to finish this tale, sir.
Okay. But, all right.
What happened is they broke the alliance, and our gods here, who were DNAing us, but with what a far greater kindness, it wasn't through rape. They were doing so through medical, what today we call shots and stuff like that. Much kinder to their portion of the original ones. And so they said, we got to put a stop to this. The alliance is broken. We go to war. So they went down to the next level, and they built cities, and they planted grasses, and they made oceans and so forth. They did this. Well, the oceans were there, but, I mean, they made it as much as the top, number six, as possible, but with a lighter day sky and a lighter night sky.
Huh.
And then they went down below and went to war against the lizards and retrieved many of the original ones that had been there for 10 generations. Their eyesight would instantly blind them to come right up to number six.
Yep.
So they went, they dug tunnels, they made tunnels, our good guys, and went down and made a great raid and retrieved many, many of the people. And pretty much did a good number on the lizards. But, and then they brought them up to level five and said, here, because it's so much closer in simulance. You know, buildings, you know, they weren't laying on rocks sleeping when they could, like they were with the others. And, oh, beautiful buildings, isn't it, that the long walkers are going to now. Cities, full cities, just beautiful.
So there are cities as there are cities here.
I tell you, these cities here are a bunch of dirt. You know, filthy mess.
Well, may I ask this? To those who inhabit that world, see those oceans, that sky, that entire world, to most of them, except the knowledgeable, as we have the knowledgeable here, up here on the surface, to everybody else, is that the entire world? In other words, they can only imagine there's something beyond the world they live in, this false sky they have or whatever?
Okay, the ones that were there 10 generations, this world, our number six, had become this, had become the land of fairies and so forth. You understand, in 10 generations. But, it was just fables, myths. And in time, our long walkers will go below, and they will repopulate the earth there. And then in time, they will come out as they did the last time through the holes down in Navajo and Hopi land and so on and so forth. All over the world, they were not the only ones that came from below the earth. They're black men from Africa, all over the world. People had survived the flip of the earth, the last flip, and they came forth. But, and in that time, I don't know how great, I know it will be at least, I know this, understand, I do know this, after this world flips, there will be a minimum of 1,000 of our years before they will emerge again. A minimum. And but nevertheless, and I'm sure in that time, this world will become a myth to those who have already started walking to these cities down below.
Red Oak, how close are we to this flip?
Well, like I was telling your staff, I'll be very kind. You know, the Creator can't reveal everything. He won't. But nevertheless, 25 years in the year 2025, and I'm sure I'm covering it very, very well.
So you think you'll make it?
Well, I'm pretty sure, my brother. You and I are close to the same age, and I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that I'll see the flip. My daughter will.
You really want to see the flip? And how do you advise your daughter and your granddaughter? What do you tell them?
My daughter, my friend, is a lot like the non-believers that are listening to me now. You know, first off, oh, Dad, you're not a medicine man, and yet I'm the first one she runs to when she has a great need, a new car or whatnot. Make it happen, Pop, you know.
Really?
Oh, yes. And she's a full blood. We adopted her.
So then she doubts you in many ways and yet runs to you when she has
needs. Yes. That's a way of life, you know. Whereas my grandchildren, they have no doubt at all. I taught my oldest grandchild how to fly, teleport.
Wait. You taught your oldest grandchild how to fly?
Well, my oldest boy. I've got one older girl.
How to fly?
Yes.
In what manner?
You just get up and levitate and go wherever you think you know what direction.
Do you mean you do this in an altered state of consciousness, or
no? Just like you on a.
You mean physically levitate?
Yes. We're so capable, my brother. The things that we can do is phenomenal. We've got this black government who is spending all our tax money to get here, there, do this, do that, right. And you know, if the people could learn and would learn, and I teach this, I actually teach it, learn what their capabilities are, we could live in a total paradise. We don't need a car, a ship, or a plane. We don't need a spacecraft. I mean, we just plain don't need it. It's all mind work, and by putting your mind in a proper fashion, it can be physical.
All right. Reynolds, you know, I had a lot of people on the program lately who I think have gone a very great length, certainly, to prove, and I think they have proven, that we are idiots for thinking that we were the first to walk on the earth as man. And that, of course, we don't know how ancient things were done, how pyramids were built, how big stones were moved, how some fella down in Florida moved these tons and tons of stones all by himself. Obviously, at some time, there was another time for man or some relation of man, and these men had power. They had power and a science that we don't understand today. You believe that's all true?
No, sir, I do not. I know it's true. I do not use the word belief when I know of things. Belief is connotation of doubt. And all have made the same identical mistake that we are making now. They turned from their natural abilities, their God-given abilities, that they can do just by the use of their brain and thought, and gone into, they became lazy, and people said, hey, let's make a car, even way back then, you know, let's put a wheel, you know, and instead of shutting your eyes, giving a thought to where you want to go, open your eyes and you're there.
Well, we went to the physical sciences.
Yes. I tell you, technology is a bane and has been the bane of this world and every world, Not with no exception. Every single planet in all times, dimensions, planes.
And this technological and scientific striving and achievement that we have done, you're saying that it has kept us from the real ways.
That is absolutely correct, sir. That's why you have people left on this planet called medicine people. You know, I'm not talking about just the red bloods here on this continent. They're all over the planet. My brother, in the future, there will be a time that there will not be a piece of food to eat. There will not be a branch to pick an apple off of. And yet we do even now have medicine people that can take, for instance, a branch off an apple tree, a dead branch, and just a few minutes of mind work holding that branch, dead branch, in its hand, or her hand, his or hers, and make it turn green, make the leaves come on it, make the flowers come on the leaves, make the apple appear, pick it, and eat it.
You can do that?
I can't. No, but I know of others that can.
You have seen this with your own eyes?
I have. Sir, this is one reason that I thought, okay, all right, there's no accidents. I will go on Mr. Bell's show.
Uh-huh.
And I tell the people, I tell your listeners and my brother, my friend, I tell you too. You are so capable. You have every ability, and even the good book, the black book, the Bible, it says so, in both Old and New Testament. It says ye are as gods, little g, not big. You can do anything you want. It talks about moving mountains. Look at the Pale One did, the Pale Teacher Christ. You know, he rose people from the dead. He did many, many miracles. We can do the same thing. He said, follow me. Not just sit there and talk about it. Do it. And it's all taught right there in that same Bible. How he did it, he taught how to do it. In my 41 years of training, sir, I had to go to Bible college, a non-denominational Bible college. I had to spend 8.5 years in the black side to learn the enemy. This is all part of my training. And even at Bible college, non-denominational, many, many different denomination teachers, from preachers who were teachers there, they didn't even get that training, the actual how to do this, how to walk through a wall, how to know that somebody's under a tree many, many miles away when you're standing in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
This is all our ability. And instead, we're too dang lazy, and we go and we work our rear ends off to pay the electric bill, the gas bill, get a new car, keep up to the Joneses, keep our family fed. My gosh, I have walked in rain for 10 and a half hours, freezing rain, where you could see your breath. And I was walking around in a white shirt. I was working in the hot fields.
Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are at the top of the hour, so
okay,
hold on.
I'd
like to take some calls when we get back. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold it right there. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Do the wind, the sun, and the rain. We can be like
tell me something. If you could be led to the opening of a cave or a hole in the ground into which you could descend, knowing that perhaps you would never be seen again, never come back, but you would enter another world, would you go?
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0900.
You hear that? 40,000 men and women every day. Where are they going? Well, this audience certainly deserves an hour with Red Elk. It should be interesting. I understand some are going to think this is a pure lunacy. And others are probably not going to be so sure. And you really shouldn't be so sure, because after all, what do you know about what's down below you? Not that much, right? Red Elk, welcome back.
Uh-huh.
Hi there. A lot of people, my friend, with a lot of questions for you, as you might imagine. So if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? I don't know if anybody's ever really ready for my audience, but...
I've been in this a long time. I get a lot of people that are doubting Thomas's until they test me.
Well, I know your age now. You're 60-ish. So do you go into these caves? Do you ever go down? Have you ever gone down? How far down have you gone?
Not very far. Mainly the one I protect... There is a time cave up around Republic, Washington.
Whoa, a time... Did you say time?
Yeah, it's very, very tiny. Two people can get in it, maybe three if there's no fat people there. And maybe. It's so tiny, it's unbelievable.
Wait. This small cave, you said a time cave. What does that mean, please?
Well, sir, by fasting for 5 days and nights, the leader, the knowledge, the keeper, myself, or others that know how to do this.
Yes.
And using certain objects and obeying certain physical rules, as well as mental preparing yourself.
Yes.
You can go inside. And by the way, this cave, when you go inside, you don't take your wallet or purse in there. If you have any credit card or something, because it wipes out the number and you have to order a new credit card. You don't take a telephone in there, a cell phone. It kills a battery. But nevertheless, anyway, you go in there and you do certain things. And if everything's done correctly, there's laws, there's rules. You know, it's got to be done, and it has to be the right person with the right heart as well.
Okay.
And suddenly you're in a hologram seeing the future of that particular area. At least that's what I've seen so far.
Of that particular area, so...
Well, in this case, I'm talking about the Pacific Northwest.
Well, have you seen its future?
Oh, sure.
And what is it?
Well, first off, there was another one with me who's not Indian, a pure white boy. And he saw the same identical thing. And you're in a hologram. It's all around you. It's almost like sitting in water in a sense.
No, I understand.
Well, the future is this, sir. Move from the coast. Find yourself somewhere on the other side of Spokane.
So and it's not...
Stay away from rivers.
It doesn't sound like the coastal folk have a lot to look forward to.
No, that's all right. Everybody has their own path. Each will be warned in their own way and will ignore or do something about it.
How many do you think will actually do something about it?
Not very many.
That's what I thought.
About as many as believe what I'm saying now over all your listeners.
I know.
I know how people are being right now, sitting out there. I know how they are.
Yeah, we call them the survivors. They are the ones that will are identical in surviving as the last four Earth flips were. Well, actually three, because the first two pretty well took care of animals and stuff before the man's imprint in the stone next to the dinosaur.
Well, we were told there's a certain class of people that will inherit the Earth. It sounds like there's another certain class of people that are going to be devoured by it.
Yeah, well, they'll inherit it too, but they're going to be deep in the sediment.
God. All right, listen, I promise. So here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Esther, and I'm listening on WABC.
In New York, yes.
Yeah. And my question is, well, first I wanted to ask how to convince my family that Mr. Elk, what he says. But then when he said he could fly, I thought that if he goes on one of the television shows and actually shows people this, everybody will believe everything you say. So
that is such a good point. I mean, it really is. Now, you'd have to, you wouldn't want to go on the lower class shows. You'd want to go on, I don't know, what do you think, ma'am?
What
would be good? Pardon me?
The View, or maybe Maury Povich.
Well, I don't know.
You pick a show. You pick the higher class show.
Larry King.
All right.
I even have an in with Larry, and so, heck, Larry owes me a favor.
Okay, other than, and also perhaps for those that don't have cable, the Charlie Roche program.
You know something, though? In this day and age, ma'am, if Red Elk went on a TV show, even like Larry, and levitated, you know, everybody would, well, I don't know about everybody, but most people would say it's a trick.
Oh.
They'd say it's a trick. Red Elk, what about it, though? I mean, she has a point. If you did some incredible public demonstration of levitation or the ability to fly, your word would suddenly become at least very much more listened to than it is now, right?
Oh, that is correct, my friend.
So how about it?
No.
No?
No, that sounds silly. It sounds like a cop-out. I'll teach people to do it themselves. I'm not here for show and tell. I'm here to teach.
Now, if you could teach Larry how to fly, I'd be a believer.
If Larry, who is this Larry?
This is Larry King, a fellow named Larry King.
Is that the guy that wears suspenders?
Yes, he does.
Huh?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Now, it takes someone with an open mind, someone who will obey me, and do exactly what I say.
Yes.
And believe me, there'll be a lot more failures until you grasp how. Matter of fact, if you want to, two things, and Estelle, is it?
Oh, you mean the lady on the line? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you want, I will teach you right now how to go about flying. If you want, right on the air.
Well, on behalf of Estelle and everybody else, for heaven's sakes, you go right ahead.
All right. Now, there's two things I would like to mention. One about the flying. And let me go to the second one first. You have people who are attacked by these shadow people.
Yes.
A one-line caller. Mr. Bell, I was on the Laura Lee show about 3.5 years ago.
Yes.
And I had people call in as this station. And they flew. Now, why don't you put that out onto the air? One-line caller.
We're about to do that. You were just going to tell everybody how to do this.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Go right ahead and tell them.
I'll do so now, but I still say, open up a line. You'll find out there's others.
My lines are all jammed. I'll see what I can do.
Not tonight.
We'll know tomorrow, the next night. You know, as time goes on, believe me, we'll know.
What you do is I actually went out and I bought a big gum. One of these 13-foot round trampolines, because you can get hers as you're learning. But or if you got an old beater couch, that's how I learned, off an old beater couch. And it's so simple, it's impossible to believe.
Well, Red Elk.
So you jump. You get up on a mattress, on a bed or something.
Yes.
And start playing. Start thinking. Jump up and down.
Jumping.
I can fly. Now I'm telling you the truth.
I'm listening.
And you just jump up and down. You've got to overcome all your years of learning. Man can't fly.
But Red Elk, and this is the truth, what I'm going to tell you. When I was a child, I thought I could fly. Red Elk, I tried to fly. I ran down hills. I jumped off things. I jumped off buildings with umbrellas. I broke my arm hang gliding. Flying has been a passion for me all my life. But when I was really young, Red Elk, I thought I could fly. I used to go jumping around like Superman. You know, the Superman jump. And by God, I tried and I tried and I tried. And I was a true believer, and I never flew.
All right, there was your problem.
What?
You tried. You tried to make yourself do it. The trick to learning how to levitate,
yes,
is to make it so enjoyable, it becomes real. And it you just accept it. You know, I'm flying. You jump onto the couch or onto the mattress. I'm flying, and bang. I'm flying. And until it just becomes a game, and it's not trying to do a thing.
And one of those times,
you're
saying,
up there,
you're going to really fly.
Scare the daylights out of you.
You're going to really fly.
You're going to stay there still. It might be 1 second or 2 seconds, like my grandson.
But you'll know.
Oh, and so will those that are watching.
Huh.
The trick is you cannot try. That's you, your tonal, getting away of your nagao.
Okay.
Another story entirely. Just enjoy it. But when you and believe me, you might jump for weeks until you get rid of that trying. You think you're not trying. But every time you get up there, by golly, I'm going to fly today. I'm going to try subconsciously. No, it's when you get rid of the ongoing.
Does it require an absolute belief that eventually you can do it?
No.
No?
It just requires an absolute belief in enjoying yourself as you're leaping into the air.
Well, I admit, I've never tried it with that psychology. Never, never. It was always a very ardent attempt to fly, so I wanted it very badly. So
it can be done, and I'm not the only one who's done it. And my grandson, this same gentleman who was with me in the time cave, you got to have a childlike mind. Now, this guy's no kid. You know, he's 36. Next week, I think.
Yeah.
But he's got that childlike view. And Scriptures talks about that, too, to have the mind of a child to do these things.
Well, does anybody have any pictures of anybody flying?
Yes.
Where?
That gentleman you're talking about. That's no trickery, my friend.
You're talking about David Blaine?
I am.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, honestly puzzled over the photograph. I've seen a demonstration of how people think it's faked, but
I think, my friend, you could lift up and you can roll right underneath him.
Yeah. So you think, the
one thing this man's got going for him for these abilities is his innocence. He is not heady over what he does. And he had that childlike mind to learn this, and this is not the only thing he's learned. He's good. I would call him a great medicine man.
Well, the whole Peter Pan story supports a childlike mind.
Sir, if you're going to do anything, go into a tree and become a tree, one with the tree. You have to have a childlike mind of belief that at least I'm going to try, you know, to...
Yeah, I'll give you that. You do. You have to. That's right. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Carol. I'm calling from Oregon, KMED.
Yes. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I was interested, Red Elk, in finding out, was your father a chief in Orange County, by any chance?
My father, honey, was a drunk from Dakota.
Oh.
And he was white.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just thought maybe...
There is a family called Red Elk. Their last name is Red Elk.
Uh-huh.
This is my whole name.
It is your whole name. Okay,
yes,
that
is my whole name.
I was just curious. I thought it was your last name, but maybe you were someone I knew from a long time ago, a little 10-year-old Indian boy when I was 10.
Apparently not.
Who serenaded me. And it was my first love.
Sounds like me with some of the girls when I was a young man.
Well, maybe you do know each other.
Yeah, from another life or something.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. First time caller line, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hi.
Hello, this is Matt from Rochester. I just had a question about the levitation and any other things that Red was talking about. Is there how do you come upon these revelations, these discoveries? How do you discover, you know what I mean?
You apparently you didn't hear the first part of the show, right?
I heard it on and off. I'm here at work, and actually a bunch of people came in and they laughed when you were talking about the levitation, so that's why it interested me, because...
All right, well then listen, if I got it right, this has been passed down for more generations almost than we can count. This all this knowledge about the lower world, apparently about levitation and flying, all of it, isn't that right?
This is correct.
So, that's your answer.
I can answer it a little bit more if he would like.
Well, go ahead.
All right. There are, again, I was speaking, our abilities are almost as being God itself. Not just my abilities, my friend. All humans were born with those abilities. And then we're told by our peers and our grandmothers and our preachers and our mothers and dads, you can't fly, you can't do this. Listen. You quit living in the word of can't and start living in the words of can, and also apply it only in a love way, because love is a greater power than using it any other way. And you've got to, I don't know how old you are, Matt, is it?
No, he's gone now, but he's hearing you.
All right, I don't know how old this gentleman is. He sounded like he was in his old mid-20s.
Yeah, I'd guess that.
Yeah, but that is mid-20s, say 25 years, just for the sake of it. 25 years of can'ts.
Yeah.
Now, you have to reverse it to I sure can, piece of cake. And then you will be amazed, but you've got to reverse all the negative to become positive.
Red Elk, if you really... really got good at it, rather than hovering for an extra second or two.
You can sit like you're on a car seat and drive down the freeway with your left arm out of a non-existent window and steering with a non-existent steering wheel and go beep, beep right alongside the people at 70 miles an hour.
All right. Hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
I've been drifting on a sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long. Listening to the strangest stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
Thank you.
Richard Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may Richard at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To Richard on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Wow, Sly. Well, you were just told how to do it. Want to go to Mel's Hole? He told you where to go. He is Red Elk, and he'll be right back. All right, now, as you well know, because of present circumstances, we are not accepting any snail mail here. We're just not doing it. We're not going to take that chance, as is the case with most media. But I'd love to hear from you electronically. It really is. It's painful not to be able to receive mail. It's really painful. But electronically, we can still speak. How's that, folks? So you see, they've had some effect, surely, haven't they? Anyway, you can communicate with me electronically. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com or artbell at aol.com. That's Art Bell at mindspring.com or Art Bell at aol.com. Either one will reach me. And that brings up an important question, because right now I've got 5 gazillion fast blast computer requests wanting to know how to get hold of Red Elk. Red Elk, if people in my audience wanted to speak with you, and I can assure you they do, so consider carefully whether or not you're going to give out any contact information. If you wish to, now would be a good time. If you don't want to really speak to people, they'll have to understand.
Well, first off, yes, I'll speak to people, but if people are really interested and will send a self-addressed stamped envelope, understand that I cannot afford to go out and buy stamps just to reply to you people.
I know.
I will give you my personal address. It's a small post office with a very heady postmaster. I would like to drown that man in some mail.
would you now? All right. Well,
not a nice thing, but the guy gets a little heady.
Does he?
But yes, I can go on with phone calls and do.
Well, yeah, I understand. But in the meantime, let's have the address.
All right. It is Red Elk.
Red Elk.
Post Office Box 166. Thorpe, that's T like Thomas, H like horse, O-R-P like Paul, no E on the end of it.
Oh.
Washington, now this is not D.C., just W-A period.
All right.
98946. Hmm. Now, the last time when I was on Lower Lee, I got a lot of mail.
Yeah.
And it's so much so that I got a strange bump on my finger replying, because I'm a one-finger typer, so I write instead. And I realized what it was, and I've had to shave it because it was a callus.
A carpal tunnel bump.
Yeah.
All right, so...
But I'll get back to him eventually, but please make sure that you make it a self-addressed stamped envelope or you're going to be out of luck.
Yeah. And okay, that's Red Elk, P.O. Box 166 Thorpe, T-H-O-R-P, Thorpe, Washington, 98946, right?
This is correct, my friend.
All right. You don't have an email address, I think.
I do, but it's at the library. You're only allowed a half hour a day if you can get on.
Oh, I see. Then you don't want to do that. You don't want
I
to
get
do that.
So many from people that I know that it takes almost a half hour to read them.
Well, in that case, trust me, you don't want to give it out. All right.
Someday maybe I can afford to buy a computer and get a website. But
do you really want to get that technological?
My friend, I have been ordered to teach what I know up to a certain point. There's some things like how to physically go into parallel times. That is too dangerous. It opens a door that our military, if they knew how to do it, they could go in and invade parallel times. at the same time the door is opened.
But you're telling me you know how to do it?
I not only know how to do it, I've done it many times. I have a lot of fun over there.
Huh.
And I take others in with me occasionally.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. But you got to be careful from Rod Skinnendorf. Please recall this name, Rod Skinnendorf. He lives in Oneida, Wisconsin. He is the head of the Red Wedge Society, of which I'm a member. There's, by the way, only nine. This is the last society prophesied that will be in the Indian world before the flip. And there's only nine of us, and he is the head. Now, this man is, guys, I wish I had this man's love and this man's humbleness, and this guy is something else.
You do have, however, this man's ear, don't you? You can speak to him?
Well, matter of fact, I have seven people, including this gentleman, at this moment listening to this show and praying that I don't put my foot
in too deeply and
have the black side come after me.
And, well, I can see that you might have already done that, but I'm...
And not as deep as I could. I mean, I just put a little...
Okay,
deep.
What I was going to ask is whether you could put me in touch with the big guy.
Rod Skinnendorf?
Yeah.
Well, certainly. If after this is over, I can give you his phone number. You'd love him. I'm nothing compared to this.
Well, he'd be an obvious follow-up to you, right?
Well...
If there could even be one.
You understand... He was born in moccasins. I was born in street shoes. This man knows traditional healing ways that I'm unaware of. All I know is if I need to know that.
Well,
I call him up and he tells me what to do.
Okay. All right. Well, I should,
yes,
I should speak to you.
If you and I will speak afterwards.
All right. Good enough. First time caller line, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hello.
Yes. I wanted to ask Red Elk about the DNA mixing of people.
Oh, yes.
And if those people are walking amongst us at this time.
All right.
Well, first off, sir, you're one of those people. So is Mr. Bell, and so am I, and so is everyone else on this earth. Are there breeds, you know, that have, you know, like half lizards, half human? Have Martians, half humans? Yes, I eat with them. I camp with them. And it's certainly. Now, let me add a little something. Francis says we use 10, 12, even up to 15% of our brains, correct, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
They are so wrong, it's pathetic. We use 100% of our brains.
We do.
The rest is in storage. It's just a matter of learning how to get it out of storage.
Well, I guess that's what they mean by non-use, though.
Well,
Red Elk, I mean,
I guess that is. But there is a simple way of going upstairs in your mind and pulling out that folder for that little piece of knowledge. And by the way, this all works. We not only are DNA'd from the foreigners that came to our earth, they themselves were DNA'd. And those that DNA'd them were DNA'd all the way back. So we have the knowledge of all creation sitting right upstairs in our brain. And there is a way to touch that and get it out.
You know, that's not so far-fetched. A lot of people talk about the mass subconscious or the mass consciousness. Why couldn't we imagine that this is a simple storehouse in all brains?
It certainly is. This is one of the teachings within the medicine world.
Gotcha. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Red Elk.
Good morning, Red Elk. What nation or tribe are you?
Honey, I am Blackfeet. Please, never
say
Blackfoot.
I'm an enrolled Cherokee.
Oh, ho. One of the proud
well,
nations.
You know, yes, we are, and we're a tattered nation. I was listening to you talking about the caves and such, and of course the Cherokee are called the people of the cave. That's the loose translation. The Choctaw gave us our names because we fell from the Iroquois. We really don't know. The Cherokee really have no true origination. There's no known of where they came from originally. But are you a holy man or a medicine man of the Blackfoot?
First off, I'm Blackfeet.
Black
and
Sheep.
French.
Uh-huh.
Shoshone and Irish.
Okay.
All right. I look white, and it's kind of cool. It took me, oh, gosh, 56 and a half years to get used to the fact that I don't look Indian, because I am Indian, you know. But, and anyway, I lost my train of thought, but...
Well, you had a question.
If you're the holy man or the medicine man of the Black Feet. And then I had another question, too.
Hold on. So are you considered a holy man or a medicine man? Or
I am considered a medicine one kind, which is holy. I am both. I'm a spiritual teacher, and I am a medicine man. I do them both.
All right.
Then are you familiar, then, with Chief Looking Horse, Orville Looking Horse of the Lakota?
Yes, Carrier I'm familiar with him, though I've never met him.
I was going to ask you, on the prophecy of the Indians, of North America, such as the returned chief that Orville Looking Horse is speaking of, and the Hopi, who the American government, very few people know, have gone to the Hopi to find out how to grow corn without water because they know a drought is coming. We're watching now, I watch the weather now, and we have no winter yet in the Midwest here, and it's December, and we're still in jackets at 40-degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
And with the earth changes going on, when you mentioned the flip of the earth, I just understood that it's going to be a year of no winter, and that's going to be the sign, but I don't think it's going to be 25 years. Do you believe this, Red Elk?
Honey, I said I'm stretching it at 25 years.
Well, you're just given the long route.
I'm hedging my bet.
Well, never feel obligated to be optimistic on the show, Red Elk.
With that year 12,000, it's a good year. Watch out.
Yes, it is. God bless you,
sister,
Red Elk. Art, take care. If you're ever going to have Orville Looking Horse on again, please do. I haven't heard him for about, I think you had him on about 2-3 years ago.
Long time, yes.
Are you going to have him back?
I would be willing to do so in a flash, ma'am.
And what happened to, I don't want to say Ghost Wolf. He was from the Washington area also. I believe he was, he'd come on.
Well, that probably is who you're talking about, as a matter of fact. Robert Ghost Wolf, I would imagine. And I am still in touch with him. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe this is going to sound kind of crazy, but maybe he can help me with this. But it's kind of weird. But when
we don't have a very good connection, sir, so you'll have to...
All right, can you hear? Hello?
There's something really wrong with your connection.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, Art. When I was 12, I had this weird dream that I was fighting a lizard person, but I was a lizard or whatever.
You were a lizard?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I was part lizard, part man, and it kind of blows my mind because I got in a fight with this thing. And then I was half awake, and then it was like I climbed back into my window and everything, and I woke up, and then... I had a battle scar, whatever I guess you would call it, because I had a scratch on my face. I didn't know it until I woke up.
An actual physical scratch.
Yes, very small, though.
All right, I guess the question, Red Elk, would be, would it surprise you that people are dreaming of lizards and of being themselves half lizards? Does that surprise you?
Sir, I've met so many of these people that are exactly what they think they're dreaming that it would fry your mind. It's too bad you can't sit with me at some of these. Their tongues dart out when they get extremely excited or agitated.
Wonderful.
Extended bellies. One gal's here, a good friend of mine, a woman, half lizard. When she gets really upset, her face, a good-looking woman.
Yes?
Her face turns to scales and wedges, and her eyes turn to, like, goat's eyes.
Oh, that would ruin a
good... I mean, it really, it scares the daylights out of everybody.
And this woman is a friend of yours?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, I take these people, these half-breeds, I call them, and I explain to them... Because, I explained to them their powers are so fantastic. It's fascinating.
So you might say, then, you are what you dream.
a few dream it, my brother, that they mostly become it. And in daylight or night, very few dream it.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk. Where are you, please?
Hello, this is Rick. I'm in Apache Junction,
yes.
Arizona.
Yes.
And I listen to you on KFYI.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had a couple of questions for Red Elk. First question was, does he believe or think that the lizard people could be some some of these UFO people we've heard about? The remember the lady that you had on a while back who claimed to have had sex with the lizard man?
Yes, I do.
I was just wondering if he had had any insight into that.
That was Pamela Stonebrook, by the way.
Yeah, I've been listening to you about 6 years, and I get in, you know.
That goes back a ways.
Right.
Red Elk?
Yes. He's very muffled to me. Could you?
Okay. Well, he's basically wondering if there's any connection between the lizard people and basically aliens of the same type, or are they one and the same?
In a sense, they're one and the same, my friend. It's what has happened. Is a colony that originally came as an alliance has taken over the inner land, and they themselves believe they are both God and Lucifer, not knowing that they themselves are being conned by Lucifer himself. I open this up to the lizards, the half-breeds. I show them, I explain to them, and I take them on little trips, and they are shocked. And so far, the ones that I have shown and have led into the knowledge of who they are, you know, they're people like you and me, even the full-blood lizards. They're people from another planet, actually three, with one main planet.
Well, you can understand most people, Red Elk, don't want to believe they're lizards from another planet.
Yes, and I tell you, this is a big problem. A lot of people come to me scared because they've had dreams or experiences, and I turn them away from the thought. I turn some away from total, very ugly witchcraft, and I turn them to the greater source.
You believe witchcraft is absolutely real?
Oh, sure. Hey, remember, part of my training was 8.5 years in the dark. God, the Creator, pulled away from me, and he said, you must learn the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe it? You bet I believe it.
Because you've seen it. You've seen it. You've done it.
I've been part of it.
How does one become part of it and then get away from it? I always thought of it, you know.
No, I'm told not to tell you this, so I won't tell you this.
But tell me. It doesn't matter. Whisper.
It does, too. It does to me. The Creator just said don't, so I won't.
Oh.
Let's just say it can be done. My birth was to do exactly what I'm doing now, open eyes to people that there is their own ability, and love outweighs evil if they will just do so. And
well, listen, we're coming to the end of this program. The clock is ticking. I think what I would like you to do is just tell me very quickly, to all those people who think you're crazy as a loon and all this is nuts, what do you say to them?
I say mainly to my medicine friends, it is time to give the knowledge out that you have been called sacred and secret. And it's time to unite one to the other. It's time to become one. One relation. Quit infighting. And this goes for the world. This goes to the whites, the blacks, the Hispanics.
Okay, I think we've got it. Red Elk, we're out of time. Thank you.
Could I talk to you after the show?
Yes, I will put you on hold. Just stay right there. Red Elk, thank you for being here. Well, there you have it. Anybody want to fly? That's it for tonight, folks. And it was quite something. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Ta-ta. Now, you've heard what we may be facing, the warnings we're getting about a bioterrorism attack. It's all over the place. Stephen Quayle is the author of the book Breathe No Evil, a primer for understanding bioterrorism. First published in 1996. Additionally, he's authored Blueprint for Survival, Investment Perspectives on Precious Metals, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. Indeed. Quayle is currently writing a book called Colossus, A History of Giants and Lost Civilizations. They'd go well with my next guest. He's former editor and publisher of Survival Quest and Security and Survival Chronicles, both monthly newsletters which dealt with dangerous and perilous events and how to prepare for them. For the last 7 years, he's been articulating the need for American citizens to become aware of bioterrorism and weapons of mass destruction. Upon the publication of Breathe No Evil, Quayle upstaged the mainstream media by years in spelling out specifically in great detail the effects of bioterrorism. Prior to the publication of the book Breathe No Evil, Quayle went on record to predict a major chemical or biological attack in a major world city 3 weeks later. That cult in Tokyo released the nerve gas in the subway. Remember that? Well, we've had, and I've been commenting on the air here, several times, you'll recall, that a lot of scientists who are involved in biotechnological stuff have either come up missing or dead. And tonight, I think Stephen Quayle is prepared to deal with that question, as well as the present warning that we've got in front of us about possibly being attacked. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening. All right, so even I've been commenting on it. I see the stories, I'm sent the stories of these scientists who mysteriously, you know, overnight disappear or are found deader than doornails, and they're involved in exactly the stuff we're all worried about right now. What do you know? What do you think's going on? What has happened? Outline it.
Well, let me give you an outline. The last time you and I were talking on your show about 5 weeks ago, we were talking about the outbreak of Ebola in a certain part of Afghanistan, actually in Balochistan, a province of Pakistan.
That's right. A lot of people didn't believe it, and I got the link, and I put it up on our website, and indeed it was true, yes.
Now, our Jane's Defense Weekly, the most prestigious publication in the world on all types of military issues, ran an article that's claimed that the thing is spreading, this outbreak, this what I would call pandemic is spreading. They now have 140 quarantine bases in Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. This is something the mainstream news is not paying any attention to.
What, did you say 140 quarantine bases?
Yes.
Which means you collect people up and you put them, what, in some sort of a...
Well, they've got to basically segregate the people. Listen, Ebola is a level 4 biohazard, and when you're encountering that, you need basically full-scale pressurized suits. And we're seeing what I believe is a trial run in Afghanistan. Bin Laden is known to have acquired Ebola from some Kazakh arms traders.
Well, if he didn't have it before, he sure as hell got it now. If they've got that much Ebola between Pakistan and Afghanistan, then they've got all the samples they could need, don't they?
Yes, and what's really fascinating, quickly, one of the foremost Russian scientists who was uniquely murdered about the same time as some of the other world scientists around the 15th of October, 15th of November of this year, was a gentleman who pretty much figured out how to aerosolize, in other words, Ebola, and allow it to be spread by air. Normally, Ebola is spread by contact with mucosa,
blood,
or body fluid.
Right,
now
right.
They figured out how to do it by air. Now, what
are
I'm
you,
going
are
to
you,
say...
Are you sure of that?
Yes, I am.
They have
aerosolized
Ebola?
And my source for that is Dr. Ken Allebeck. He was testifying before the Congress on C-SPAN and basically went into specific detail on it. And unfortunately, Art, most of the guys there just didn't even get the full effect of that. What I'm saying quite candidly is that I believe that part of the hush-hush in the back rooms, if you will, of Congress and the intelligence community is they know what Al-Qaeda has access to, and I believe this release that you and I first talked about 5 to 6 weeks ago, and now is making James news as of a week ago.
I mean, that's incredible. 128 quarantine camps?
Yes, 140.
140.
Right, and then in addition to that, they've set up 39 field hospitals. So they're expecting this thing to become massive. There's no way Arctic could have gotten from Baluchistan, which Quetta is the capital of a Pakistani-like province, to where it is showing up now in Iran without being aerosolized. Just physically, no way. And so we're talking about, by the way, when you and I talked about it previously, there were 75 to 100 deaths. Now, just in the Iranian part of this, there's 100 deaths. This is a big story, and it's really big when you take into consideration what Walker is, the U.S. guy that was fighting with bin Laden. You know, they're trying to really downplay him. But remember this, the CIA sent two of their field operatives to debrief him, and that's when that whole situation got out of hand in the prison, and one of the CIA guys ended up getting killed. So when everybody's downplaying this gentleman as being just, oh, how could such a low-level guy know anything, I think it's important to recognize that he must have known something, or they wouldn't have committed, the CIA wouldn't have committed their assets to going and debriefing him.
Right.
Now, also, interestingly enough...
How long was he with the Taliban? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know that.
I mean, it was a big shock to all Americans that an American would have joined the Taliban. I'll find out more about that. I'm going to do a first-hour interview tomorrow night. You want to hear from Afghanistan, somebody on one of those sat phones from Afghanistan on the Walker issue. I'm really, really interested in that. How much credence do you give to what he said?
Well, I'm paying a lot of attention to it because, you know, the point is that he not only talked about that, but he talked about phase three. And if you remember when we were talking 5 weeks ago, that the Russian lady, the advisor to Vladimir Putin, Tatiana Korozhnaya, made the statement that the people that are trying to bring down the United States are not just going to settle for a financial interruption. They want to destroy us. And his exact words were phase three was a destruction of America. I doubt that being in the Taliban military and also being now under our armed guards, he's had too much of a chance to listen to her. So what I'm saying is we're getting intermittent verifications of the story that Vladimir Putin's economic advisor broke to the world in Pravda, which the West paid no attention to, and now we're seeing the very same thing happening, and we're hearing it from Walker's mouth. This is part of the reason why the government, U.S. government, gave the warning they did several days ago, because it wasn't just what Walker said, but there was a lot of ancillary and additional events taking place that proved that something's getting ready to happen. And Ebola, I believe, is it, okay?
Well, aerosolized Ebola, does that mean aerosolized in order to initially release it, or it, once it's released, is it then contagious through the air, you know, like the flu?
Yeah, it becomes contagious through the air.
Oh, my God. You're saying you're sure about this, huh?
I'm quoting Ken Allebeck. He was the head of the Biological Weapons Development for the Soviet Union, Biopreparat. And listen to this. Just a small amount of Ebola, especially the Marburg variety,
yes,
released like into the subways of New York, Boston, or Washington,
yes,
would literally result in hundreds of thousands of deaths within days. We're talking about a very fast act. We're talking 3 to 5 days.
All right. This is a phase two kind of thing, isn't it? In other words,
this is phase two.
Phase two, because phase one, of course, was the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Phase two would be what you're talking about now, phase three, from their point of view, the complete destruction of America.
And the phase three, as it's being basically bannered about in most mainstream newspapers and magazines around the world, not just in the United States, the world press is giving more coverage to this than our local press, is basically the pre-positioned nuclear weapons backpack and the Cold War leftovers, meaning...
All right, well, now, if most Americans, Stephen, watching the news tonight, yesterday, the day before, last week, are under the impression that Al-Qaeda is dead meat. That, and if they're not dead meat, they're close. You know, we're blasting their last stronghold, it would seem, in Afghanistan, Tora Bora. They're either giving up, about to give up, or going to get liquidated one way or the other. Most Americans are under the impression that this is kind of almost over, really.
Absolutely false and totally fallacious. even the Saudi Arabians have announced that the death of Bin Laden will not mean the end of Al-Qaeda, because obviously our relationship with Saudi Arabia as a country is going downhill fast, Art. And the point is the current head of it, the prince, who absolutely is anti-American and pro Bin Laden, is all, he's the guy that said you can't operate from any of our bases, and now they're basically saying we've got to get out of Saudi Arabia. So the point is it takes big bucks to fund a worldwide terror organization as Al-Qaeda. It's in 60 nations, and also I think most people miss the story that the 4,000 to 5,000 of the Taliban were airlifted out of Afghanistan into Pakistan. That's something that most people just overlook. So anyone who makes that statement, I immediately challenge and say, that's what it appears to be. That's not the way it really is.
Well, we've also heard that Bin Laden is cornered and we're surrounding him. And then earlier today I was hearing that now there are reports Bin Laden is long gone 10 days ago.
Right.
Somehow got into Pakistan or who knows where. And then I started hearing that Somalia might be the new base for Al-Qaeda. So this isn't over, huh?
This is not over. You know, again, these events that are taking place with the top weapons, you know, biological biophysicists and biologists, molecular biologists, this is like the who's who in the world, Art.
I hear you. What's going on? What do you think is going on?
Well,
I mean, scientists are being, they're disappeared, which probably means dead, or they're found murdered. Too many
right.
of them, something's going on.
Well, listen, and it's not only in the U.S., in the Australian Animal Health Labs, which is basically a cover for their bioweapons development program. Today, we found another guy. His name was Seth Van Nguyen. I take it he's Vietnamese, but a 15-year veteran microbiologist supposedly goes into a room filled with nitrogen gas, and they said, you know, it was just an accident. I don't think so, especially when you figure out the fact that Dr. Vladimir Pishnik, that's the gentleman, the Russian I told you about, who figured out how to aerosolize this stuff, he was basically murdered on the 21st. I've got a who's been murdered when type thing, okay?
He was murdered on the 21st.
Of November, okay?
Are there any leads on this murder, or is it so cleanly and professionally done that there never is going to be a lead?
Well, let me just say this. It's always interesting that when these guys of foremost and worldwide caliber, it's always an accident, okay? Always an accident. It's going to be hard to say the guy, Robert Schwartz, one of the most famous biophysicists in the world, that he stabbed himself. He was one that was found dead today in his home.
Well, and where was that?
That was in Virginia.
What kind of work was he doing?
His specialty was DNA sequencing analysis as it relates to Ebola, HIV, and influenza. Now, remember, the great Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, we had some of our people from Fort Detrick and the military go and dig up some cadavers and recultivate the Spanish flu. 20 million people died. So do you see when I see everybody who's linked to Ebola being basically wasted?
Now, one could imagine a scenario where the terrorist had wielded around a lot of money, and then let's just imagine for a second they finally got what they wanted from these guys. That's just a scenario, of course. What would they do with these guys prior to using this almost doomsday concoction that we're imagining here? Well, they probably would murder these guys, because otherwise the trail would go back to them, right?
That's one scenario. Another scenario is these are probably some of the only guys in the world that could come up with any kind of vaccination or antidote. At this point, there is nothing for Ebola. Okay?
So these guys could be totally above board, legit. They could simply be a threat to the terrorists because, as you point out, they might come up with some sort of antidote or something like that. God, either way, no matter how you think about this, It's really not good at all.
It's not good at all. And you know, as people start to realize that you don't get a clustering of events that become totally random and non-related, especially since we're talking about one of the most heinous and horrendously deadly viruses in the world.
Yeah, you bleed out. I mean, every orifice.
Now, let me give you another thing to add to your scenario. One of the Ebola victims who is actively suffering from Ebola, has suddenly disappeared from a village in Gabon in Libreville. And listen to this. Here's a quote from the Republic of Congo Health Minister Leon Openbot. Okay, he said this: "We are very, very worried. If you wanted to get a new strain or a variant strain of Ebola, and you didn't want to go through all the hassle of trying to track it down through labs and go through all of the scrutiny, what
you
do is you would grab somebody.
You'd go to where there's Ebola or grab somebody and just keep taking blood."
Right, and she disappeared today. You see what I'm saying? Today she disappears. Robert
yes.
Schwartz is murdered. And then this other guy, Seth Van Yoon, in Australia is murdered. And then you've got this cellular biologist on the 23rd of November at the same time that within a week of Don Wiley, the man who's disappeared, and he basically is beat up and he's in a coma in Florida. Something's very weird here. And I think that the listeners have got to realize something, that when Walker makes the statement, it's amazing how quickly the pundits try and move in and discredit him. But when you take all of the evidence in stock, you've got to say something really of major proportion is up.
Well, Walker, it seems to me, would be in a position where he is in a position where he's facing treason charges along with others, but certainly treason, which is punishable by death, definitely, right?
Right.
And so they're going to sit him down. And I'm sure the CIA does a version of good guy, bad guy in interrogation that would make most police interrogations look like kid stuff. He's going to try to offer something up for his own hide, in all likelihood, wouldn't you think?
Well, I would think that.
Information.
But again, you know, remember, they went to him prior to this, okay? They were, interrogating him prior to all of these revelations. And they obviously had reason to believe he had some form of information, because if he were just, quote, the American guy who is fighting for the Taliban as a Muslim convert, okay, that's one thing. But what did he know, and when did he know it, and why did they send two of their field agents to debrief him? Question mark. And now it's interesting because, again, one group of people is saying, listen, he's too low on the totem pole, he wouldn't know anything. The other group is saying they're all totally compartmentalized in Al-Qaeda and it's on a need-to-know basis.
Well, yes, but our government, contrary to what some people say, they're not dummies. And if he were so low on the totem pole that his warnings meant nothing, then the U.S. government, based on his warnings, apparently, would not have issued a warning that something might be about to happen. Wouldn't
exactly.
you think?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. So somebody's aerosolized Ebola. 140 camps along the Pakistan-Afghani border. 140 camps full of Ebola victims. Gee. I wonder what we're not being told. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, all right, I've got a fast blaster here who I think effectively sums up what should be a question, and that is, Stephen, with a story as big as the one you're breaking here tonight, 140 camps, for God's sakes, with Ebola victims, that's a big story. And somebody fast blasts, how could the press, not, you know, the mainstream press, not be all over this?
Well, first of all, they weren't over it, and if you remember when Keith put it, your webmaster put it up, the sources that I got it from were right there.
And
what I'm saying, Art, is that no one else in the mainstream went to that. They all I can say is they either have
true.
An agenda, and this true. Is the only answer I have for you, or they are being told to ignore it because of the ramifications. Maybe that's part
okay,
of it.
Okay, and same deal applies to the murder and the disappearance of these key scientists.
Right.
Around the world.
Right.
How come there's nobody putting that one together with the present threat?
Well, I think that, when you read what they've said about Wiley, I mean, one of the FBI guys is joking, well, it's not like the Al-Qaeda terrorists have got him. That's a direct quote. I believe the FBI's last the gentleman's name is Bull. Well, the bottom line is maybe they've got to realize that they've got to, if they want to be objective and get the answers that everybody expects them to get, they've got to quit looking at this stuff with predisposed biases, you know? And I mean, these stories are so big that, I can't answer that question. All I can tell you is that anybody who wants to look it up can go to www.janes.com. www.janes.com.
The Janes website, okay.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that I think people need to understand. We're talking about something that is so deadly that the incubation period is so short and death is so rapid that by the time the health authorities know what even hit them, everyone's probably going to be dead who was exposed to that, especially in the aerosolized version of inhalation Ebola.
Now, I want to be clear on something. I asked you, not only is it aerosolized, but it's also passed from human to human through the air like flu?
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's the doomsday weapon.
What? It is a doomsday weapon. And, you know, it's interesting because even the British press, I mean, they have enough, let's just say, this stuff under their rug that if anybody stepped hard, you know, they would come up with the fact that the hoof and mouth and mad cow disease that was, you know, released over there, I mean, they even carried stories that it was released from stolen biological samples out of Porton Down, which was their bioweapons lab.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. I do for a number of reasons, especially when Dr. Prusiner, the guy that got the Nobel Prize for identifying actually and qualifying prions, the active ingredient in or the active agent in mad cow, you know, I mean, when you see how it happened and how it took place, it was absolutely an intentional biological release.
Stephen, on behalf of the audience, if something like this aerosolized Ebola were released somewhere, subways, in a major city, whatever, what action could somebody in Des Moines or Houston or L.A. or Pahrump, Nevada take, or should a person like that take?
Well, first of all, you know, you can go, those who have internet access or even watching the Weather Channel can look at where the winds are blowing from, but you'd basically want to be, you know, as far away from the fallout, when I say the fallout, the spreading or the winds carrying it, you'd have to do the same thing that we talked about, Art, on your show. They'd have to build a safe room in their home, you know, covering all the windows, all the doors with heavy plastic and duct tape and having a way of bringing purified air into the room and pretty much have to sit it out for probably 14 to 21 days in that room.
In that room.
In that room. And I think that this is why, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, people are so worried about the economy. I say, you got to quit worrying about the stock market and you better start worrying about your life, because we're talking about statements coming from Mr. Walker and former sheikhs and even Muslim clerics that are talking about what, let's just say, call it what it is, the potential for the doomsday weapon to be unleashed. So when you hear phase three being the utter destruction of America, I can only tell you this, Art. We're talking, you know, Senator Sam Nunn in his dark winter exercise, etc., you know, they came to the conclusion 2-3 weeks the United States would no longer be what it was before that.
All right, but the thing about a doomsday weapon when you release it is it might kill you. In other words, in today's air travel society, the world is indeed very small, and a biological agent could spread very quickly right back to the originators of it.
Remember, they who originate these weapons also usually only make them known or available when they have the antidotes themselves. Part of the thing about biological weapons development is you're always working on the antidote at the same time you're working on the weapon itself. Do you follow me?
Well, I do, but our best scientists at the CDC and elsewhere have been working on, you know, something, some antidote for Ebola and things like it for a long time, and they haven't found one. So while I might understand that our enemies could have something like this, it seems unlikely to me that they have developed what the people at the CDC could not. Now, there is always the scenario which says they don't care. You know, they're going to paradise, and so releasing a doomsday weapon, even if it's suicidal, is something they'd be willing to do.
Sure, and the point is that you can't argue with the statement that someone's bound to destroy themselves and others. It's pretty tough to stop them. But what you need to understand, and I think it's really a critical issue, when you're talking about the biological weapons development, you usually are always, always coming up with antidotes. You know, the Russians offered us an antidote for anthrax, and we don't have one. We have inoculations and a, quote, questionable vaccine, but the Russians were quick to offer us an antidote for anthrax. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, something that could be taken after infection.
You got it. Yeah. So the point that I think is really a phenomenal talking point is that, okay, if these guys have developed it to the degree they've developed it, then point blank, they would obviously have most likely spent an equal amount of time developing the antidote. And that's why I think the second scenario, why all these scientists are getting whacked, murdered, if you will, is because these are the guys that could probably figure it out. And therefore, the efficacy of a weapon, you want to, you know, if you can alleviate anybody that could come up with the answer to the puzzle, well, then you've got a corner on the puzzle market.
Well, that's at least one possible answer.
Sure, and I'm not saying that is the answer. I'm just saying that, you know, when I look at the voluminous ramifications of these guys are the equivalent of Einstein in their field, okay?
Right.
And when they're all disappearing, being murdered, and then the casual, if you will, the comme ci, comme ça, whatever is, you know, it just is amazing to me because these are big, big stories.
Stephen, our government has now issued some number of non-specific warnings to the entire country. You know, something
right.
may be about to happen. We're basing this on solid intelligence, but we don't have anything specific. Is that a lie?
Yes, it's a lie. Because I don't think they can tell the truth, and it's kind of a catch-22. If they tell a truth, let's say, for instance, we'll just pick on L.A., and please, for all those of you listening in L.A., I don't mean this, but let's just pick on L.A.
Sure.
If there was a specific threat that they knew of, and they started to pass it out, can you imagine what would happen? It would be just total chaos.
I can imagine, yes.
Yeah, and so I see what they have to do. But again, my whole position with them is that they should have been proactive when this whole issue of biological terrorism was raised at least, you know, a half a dozen years ago, and then even in the last several years when we've been seeing all the press on it, most of the mainstream press didn't even carry the story about Sam Nunn's little biological exercise that took place, and basically they threw their hands up in the air. That's a very scary scenario, Art. By the way, you asked me last time, we now have my website up, and I want people to be able to go and read the first chapter of the revised edition of Breathe No Evil.
Right.
It's free, and I'm just going to probably put the whole book on the web or CD because I don't believe we have time to print. That's how imminent this thing may be. But they can go to www.breathenoevil.com.
And I think we've got a link up. I hope we do anyway.
Yeah. I don't think you do because I wasn't up last
That's
time.
Right. This was a last-minute scheduling. So,
right.
Keith, if you're listening out there, link, please. Give the link again.
www.breathenoevil.com.
Okay. We'll get a link up.
Thank you. And the reason I'm saying that is because people need to understand that again, they need to be like detectives almost to be starting to put these things together for themselves. You can draw attention to them. I can draw attention to them. All those who speak of these things. But what they've got to understand is this, is that the mainstream press will not deal with issues like this because the mainstream press pretty much is told what to cover, and we could argue about who tells them what to cover, but by not covering, I would say, the significant facts and significant events, you've got to say, boy, somebody doesn't want them to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, but if you were yourself in the government in charge of making a decision about, for example, you knew there, let's say, again, we'll pick on L.A., you knew there was going to be an attack on L.A., and we don't know that, folks. But
right.
You knew L.A. was the target, and it was going to be aerosolized, thank you, aerosolized Ebola. What kind of decision would you make, Stephen?
Well, first of all, I would say this. They've known that for a long enough time. I would have basically had my homeland defense crew positioning strategic resources there, and I would have basically started dealing with the state disaster and emergency services, and to my knowledge, they haven't, Art. And basically, the only thing you can do is tell people, look, if this thing breaks out, you're going to have to quarantine yourself in your room, you know, preferably with some bathroom facilities, and basically be prepared to wait this thing out. Now, all of these viruses tend to break down with ultraviolet, you know, light, sunlight, with temperatures, certain temperatures, etc. So the point is that it's both a blessing and a curse. The curse is that it comes quickly. In other words, the death will come quickly to a lot of people. The blessing is if you understand that you can do something to protect yourself, it should give you more peace of mind. And I honestly believe that an effective civil defense program at a state, county, city level that should have been put into place, it's too late to put into place now. So all we can do is appeal to individuals to take whatever steps they believe they can take to protect themselves.
What do you think we're doing behind the scenes right now?
Well, I can tell you right now that there are a lot of people scrambling. And when I say scrambling, obviously, just as the FBI knew of the people that were involved in the World Trade Center, I can tell you this today. They rounded up a lot of Middle Eastern guys in San Diego. Did you see that story?
Yes.
And I think that you can see that by the rumors and the word out there that 2,000 to 3,000 people are now being held. But I don't think that, again, people don't recognize the fact that there is big money behind the terrorism. And I got to be candid with you. I think we have to deal very, very swiftly and I think almost ruthlessly with the nations that we know that are backing this stuff. If Saudi Arabia is found to be secretly funding Al-Qaeda, which I believe it's going to be the case, then I think that the bottom line is that, you know, we sure don't want 35,000 men or however many men we have in Saudi Arabia right now, you know, exposed to that type of an environment. And let's face it, if it's the North Koreans, and the North Koreans have gone on, you know, basically their threat, every other day they're threatening to, you know, start another war over there.
Yeah.
But I think we have to find the source of it. And again, Art, we know the source of this stuff. We don't have a $100 billion a year intelligence agency that's totally decrepit. I think the key is that they've got to get over this national security mindset and realize that basically they've produced national insecurity, and I think they've got to be honest, but I think they have to always tell the truth, but they don't have to tell everything they know, because obviously that would be destabilizing. But I think that they had better begin to recognize the fact that whoever's funding this stuff, whoever's backing this stuff, and believe me, they know. The bottom line is they got to deal with them, and it's as simple as that. Look, if China is selling bioweapons development stuff to Iran, and Iran is selling it to Hezbollah, Hamas, and Islamic Jihad, then we know we've got a problem there. But you know, when you get into the world of geopolitics, you know, you can deal with the fruit of all this evil all day long, but until you deal with the root of it, it's not going to go away.
It's going to take me a while to digest all you have said tonight. Is there any reference for most of what you said, the 140 camps? Certainly the Ebola development on the border is well known. We had that up plenty of links last time, so we know that's true.
Right. I think Pete should just go on www.janes.com. And basically, you know, on their search engine, he can type it in. They have a subscription service, but the specific article that you can put up for your listeners and your viewers on the Internet is basically, you know, 342 words. And so that can be extracted and it can be linked just like you did on the other two articles. Or if he would like, he can call me after I get off with you at the number that you called me at.
Yes.
And I can get a fax. I can fax him a hard copy.
All right, yeah, whatever we can get up,
whatever works best
to document this.
And then also, Art, the thing is that what people have got to realize is that when you bring out stuff like this, important information, they've got to do their homework, just as you've done your homework and I've done my homework. And I think that it's really, now there's no longer a passive mindset or, gee, I'll just listen to what's going on. People are going to have to do what they're going to have to do to protect themselves and their loved ones.
I mean, this sounds like Captain Trip stuff.
Oh, I know. You know, see, it's almost in the realm of the unbelievable. It's so far out that the human mind cannot embrace it.
Maybe not before the 11th of September. But
correct.
I'm not so sure so many people feel that way anymore.
Well, when you talk about biological warfare, I actually have talked to a lot of people. A lot of people call and say, I think the worst is over yet. And when I ask them why they say that, they can't answer that. And you know what it always boils down to? It's not, I know the worst is over. They say, I hope the worst is over. And my answer to them isn't, but what if it isn't? You see, again, had these scientists not been murdered, had this outbreak not spread, had all these events, had Walker not made the statement, again, independently, sure, he's a low man on the totem pole. But when you've got the lowest man on the totem pole, let's say he's the scum of the earth, whatever he is classified or categorized, when he starts to say words that advisors to Vladimir Putin have said, mm-hmm. I take note because I know there's no way he knows what she knows because there's no way he heard what she said.
Well, again, what I'm sort of mentally going by is I believe somebody in the government actually said that the warning they're issuing was, in fact, based in part on what Walker said. Now, the timing for this is pretty close in. I mean, I believe he was talking about this coming Sunday, perhaps, right at the end of Ramadan.
Right. He said after Ramadan, which ended on the 27th, which is Sunday.
Okay.
And then a lot of the analysts they've had, the talking head analysts, said, well, what he was saying is any time after Ramadan.
Right.
And then the interesting thing that people need to understand is one of the Muslim advisors to Vladimir Putin made this statement just about a week to 10 days ago. He said, and he's a Muslim, he said, the clock is ticking, the torpedo is ready for the next event against the United States. That's a very scary statement. Clock is ticking,
the torpedo's ready. Huh.
You know, and someone said, do you think that's a code? Well, I said on the surface, it sounds like more than a code. It sounds like they know that there is a time frame for this to happen.
I've heard there is a cell at least or more left in this country operating now, and I wonder if their communication with the bosses is cut off or not.
Well, first of all, any terrorist organization has obviously their plans. Normally, you know, they can operate independent. And again, you know, we've got to differentiate between Al-Qaeda and then we have Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic
sure.
Jihad.
Sure.
I mean, there are so many terrorist cells, not to mention the state-sponsored ones, the leftover. I mean, there's North Koreans, there's Chinese, you know. I mean, you can go on and on and on. It's kind of like a cornucopia of everybody that hates the United States obviously has their cells here.
All right, Stephen, bless your heart for coming on, just scaring the hell out of me in the first hour.
Well, thank you so much, Art. Again, if people want, they can go to www.breathenoevil.com or if they want to.
All right, we'll get the link up. Gotta go. Good night.
Thanks.
See you later.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my life today.